My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. Today we have a returning guest, Steve Britt. He is assistant pastor in Columbia, Maryland, but he's also a doctor of mathematics, and we've had some lively discussions about matters relating not only to theology, but also to science, and I have really appreciated this. Welcome to Inside United, Steve.
Thanks so much, Vic. I'm excited to be back. I'm really excited for our topic today and looking forward to getting into it.
Well, the way this topic came about is that I got the March issue of National Geographic, and I saw the opening article, the cover article, "We Are Not Alone." It's the plaintive cry of humanity asking, are we alone in this universe? And it's quite an extensive article. It goes page after page. Of course, a lot of it is photographs and artistic renditions. But really, it's an article asking the question, is there other life? Is there other intelligent life in this universe? So when I saw this article, I thought, hey, this is a perfect one for Steve and I to talk about on a podcast.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it deals with some really interesting science and also just raises some interesting questions that it challenges a lot of the things that we believe, and so I think it'll be really good to talk about.
One thing that I found interesting, there has been just a tremendous advance in equipment, you know, in observation equipment. Of course, we've had the Hubble telescope, which is soon to come out of service, but there are other telescopes to be sent up, like the James Webb, which will be sent up in about 2 years or so, which its primary purpose is to find life. But one thing that was interesting in the article, Steve, I'd like you to comment on, is that now they have found other planets outside of our solar system around other stars in our galaxy. And that has led to some very surprising observations and perhaps philosophical thoughts. Tell us about it.
Looking at other planets, well, if someone's asking the question, is there other life in the universe? If there is, they're going to expect to find it on a planet. So starting to get some real data about how many planets are out there, what kind of, you know, chances there are in terms of just the raw numbers involved of having a planet with other life out there is something that they're starting to look at and uncover. Just a little bit of history there. The first planet outside of our solar system was discovered in 1995, which I think is incredibly recent. I mean, I was, a kid at that time, but that just seems like, wow, we've only found a new planet outside of our solar system within the last 25 years. That's really amazing. And since that time, they have found about 4,000 what they call exoplanets. Like you said, some of the technology that goes into this is just so tremendous. There's been so many advances in telescope technology. You mentioned the Hubble and the James Webb telescope that's about to be coming up, which are these space-based telescopes versus all the ground-based telescopes we have as well, which, you know, each one has its own set of technological innovations where they have to deal with different challenges and things like that. So the article did have some really good information on that that I found fascinating.
I found interesting that they have found 4,000 exoplanets, but then they're estimating that there could be as many as four times more planets than all the stars in the universe. And that brings up other questions as to what the possibilities are. And they have set up arrays of radio telescopes. They have tried to explore from even the Hubble itself, which has discovered some not only beautiful but awesome formations out there in our universe, even new laws of gravity and black holes. Where is this leading to, Steve?
So you're mentioning this search for other life forms. So there's a project that started back in the 1980s called the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or the SETI project, S-E-T-I. In fact, it's something that's still going on. I mean, this is the single biggest human effort that's been undertaken to look for alien life. And that's exactly what they're looking for. I mentioned it started back in the 80s as a program funded by NASA. Even before that, there were efforts going all the way back to 1960. There was Project OSMA that started in West Virginia trying to detect these alien radio signals, you know, because radio on the human side of things became the way of transmitting signals over long distances. And it was pretty quick that we realized, and it entered even into science fiction, that the television broadcasts we were making and the radio broadcasts we were making could someday reach another civilization, right? Those radio waves keep extending in every direction once we broadcast them. It's also, people might wonder, well, what exactly are radio waves and why would we be looking for a signal to be encoded in radio in particular? It's a form of light, in fact. We are piggybacking our TV signals, at least, we used to when those true over-the-air broadcast television, our television signals and our radio signals, we're piggybacking it on a form of electromagnetic radiation. It's part of the spectrum that's not the visible part. And it's important because if you're going to send a signal hundreds or thousands or millions and billions of light years away, you need something that travels as fast as it can. And the speed of light is the fastest form of travel that we know of.
But it's not fast enough.
But on the other hand, if there were other civilizations out there making broadcasts who had been around for, a million or even a billion years, since the universe, the age of it would allow for something like that, well, if they broadcast something a very long time ago, we might be able to pick that up. So that's the thinking behind SETI, even if it's something that we picked up that was they didn't intend to send out as a signal, we could find traces of it by accident. So that's what they've been looking at. Even within the last couple of decades, there's been a SETI at home project where they've collected all this data and they need help analyzing it. And so you can set your computer up in your idle time to contribute some processing power to help, possibly identify a signal in all of the noise that they are collecting from the universe and trying to find one of those alien signals.
Have they been able to have anything that really makes sense, or is it just all hopeful? Because there have been some thoughts that maybe something has been heard that we haven't understood, such as that Australian story.
Oh, yeah. That was a really funny one, actually. And this went on for about a decade, where these researchers in Australia had, they had their own radio telescope array. They were looking for signals, and they started seeing these pulses that looked like they were coming from somewhere outside of Earth. They had a signature that matched what you would expect for a certain type of, it could even be a transmission. And they struggled and struggled over, what this was, and it was only showing up at certain times of day they noticed. And it's amazing that it took them a decade to realize it was coming from a microwave in the visitor center adjacent. And they were able to actually reproduce the signal by running the microwave with the door open. And it just goes to show you the level of difficulty involved when they're trying to filter out all the other things that could be confounding what they're trying to actually receive. So in terms of whether they've actually found any significant signals, no, they simply haven't.
Well, it's amazing how plaintively man is saying, we can't be alone. This universe is so huge, and it's just goes to, it should be logical that there will be something created similar to us, not just us in this vast universe.
They look everywhere. They look in the radio signals. They've looked on Mars. We have a rover on Mars, Curiosity, that just finished up its mission. They looked on the moon. They looked at moon rocks. They look at every stray asteroid and meteorite looking for either a physical sign of life or, something in the form of a signal, like one of these radio signals. And it's been complete silence. But with the age of the universe, they would expect to have alien intelligences all over the place that are maybe millions of years ahead of us. I mean, certainly one of those civilizations out of the many millions that ought to exist should have found us by now if they were there.
Tell me about some of the thoughts that you had about the probabilities and some of your other thoughts.
Yeah, sure. So as telescopes were becoming more powerful, as the Big Bang was coming to be understood, even in the 30s and 40s, there was a physicist named Enrico Fermi who started recognizing the vast number of stars, the vast expanse of the universe, as well as the very long age of the universe compared to the supposed length of human existence on Earth. And Fermi was the first one to, the one who became famous for asking this question that became known as the Fermi paradox. And it's essentially this: the universe is so big, it's been around so long, where is everyone? It didn't make any sense according to his understanding of the universe and, his understanding of evolution and the beginning of life. It didn't fit with what he expected. That was later formalized by the Drake equation in the 1960s. It is a probability calculation that takes into account things like the number of total stars in the universe, the rate of formation of stars in the universe, the percentage of those stars that would have planets around them at all versus the percentage that are habitable planets. All of these different factors you would need to narrow down how much of what we see could possibly contain life. According to Drake's original calculation, and this is really interesting, he did this calculation and he found that just in the Milky Way, just in our galaxy, the galaxy closest to us, not counting all the ones that we can observe and see very far away, there should be probabilistically between 1,000 and 100 million intelligent civilizations. I mean, if those are the numbers that he was able to arrive at, and, people, you can even find a calculator online where you can put in your own estimates for all the parameters of the Drake equation and see what it spits out. But something is seriously wrong with the assumptions if this is what we should expect to see and what we have seen is nothing whatsoever.
Well, what are some of the things that they have had hope in? We talked about some radio signals. Nothing has come of it. But now, some of the new equipment measures light spectrum reflected off the planet that might indicate if there's chemical signs of life.
Some of the technology, the article details, is being able to get a good, clean image of a planet when you've got a star right next to it that's a lot brighter. So they do all this work to, carefully put a block in place to block the star, but make sure they can see the planet through the telescope. And really amazing the way they're able to do that. But as far as detecting a chemical sign of life, from the wavelengths of visible and some of the non-visible light, every chemical compound puts off a different wavelength of light that would be reflected back. And so what you can detect is the light signature associated with a reflection of, say, methane gas or associated with some other gas. Or you might see green that might indicate to you that there's chlorophyll. You might see a light signature that would indicate the presence of water. Particularly what might indicate life to them is if you found evidence of, in these light waves, which is a very crude form of evidence, mind you. Something like this wouldn't be conclusive even if they did find it. But they found competing gases. There are certain gas pairs that tend to break each other down. And so if you find both of those gases on one planet, it means there may be some form of life there that's feeding that. Feeding the cycle and keeping it in some kind of homeostasis where it's not just destroying all of one or the other.
I remember the article about the article saying that 600 septillion stars were found that we had known about.
Yeah.
It is the numbers are staggering. And then with these new telescopes, they probably will find something, but they won't find the thing that perhaps that they're looking for.
And the more those numbers go up, the bigger and harder it makes this this problem seem, that if it's even much bigger than we thought when we thought we should have been bumping into life left and right, then what does that say if the universe is just even more vast, even bigger than we thought? But on top of that, and maybe we can transition to talking about why their assumptions are inherently wrong about where life comes from.
But they don't want to talk about God,
Yeah, exactly. There is life out there, just not what they're expecting. And I think that's a really, it's a funny little piece of irony that there is an intelligent being out there. It's just one that they're not expecting or willing to accept. And when we talk about these assumptions that they're relying on that are wrong, this is the big one. It's about where life in our universe and life on our planet comes from. There is an originator of life, and that's God. And so what happens with that process, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search out a matter. One ugly side of that that has come through in the scientific age is a prideful extreme, right? Where mankind wants that glory of searching out a matter. And they want to say, we can find everything there is to find. We can answer every question. But the opposite, in fact, is true. In fact, there are many things that science cannot understand and cannot find out because of our limitations as human beings. But if we were to rely on the Bible, the Word of God, they would know that there is intelligent life out there. Yeah. And that intelligence is God, the supreme intelligence.
Well, one thing that, you know, from the first chapter of Romans, God says a lot of his nature is revealed by what's in the physical world, what's in the heavens, and the things that we see around us. And mankind seems to be unwilling to link the two together, the physical to the spiritual analogy. And henceforth, we have this divide and this inability to admit to a God. And when those things were written, the sky was far smaller than it is now. And David, when he stared at the heavens and said, you know, the heavens do declare the glory of God. Well, right now, Hubble certainly declares a glory that is multiple trillions of times greater than what it was before. And it doesn't seem to have any effect on mankind, doesn't seem to impress him at all.
Yeah, right. And that's a, you can just see the humility of David, like in Psalm 8, for example, where he says, what is man that you're mindful of him? He recognized, you know, mankind's smallness at that time. And I know that many who study the universe, these cosmologists and physicists, even if they're atheists, will admit that as well. But at the same time, they don't allow that humility to turn them towards the real source of knowledge and understanding, which is God. And they keep this prideful attitude that, you know, we have the power through science to find all these things out ourselves, apart from God.
Well, one thing is that scientists, and even the very first Russian cosmonaut who went up into space, he says, well, I went around the Earth, I didn't see God. And scientists say that the universe is as vast as what it is, and they don't see God.
Yeah, right. And you know, as a result of this, for their part, they look at this absence of any kind of signal from intelligent life or any kind of trace of intelligent life, and they make all kinds of speculative theories about it, just like Star Trek. You know, in Star Trek, the Federation of Planets wasn't going to make contact with a civilization until they reached a certain level of advancement. Or they say that maybe other intelligent civilizations, more intelligent than us, have learned it's a bad idea to broadcast where you are because it's not safe. Or they'll say maybe mankind's just really not advanced as we think we are, and we're so insignificant that no other intelligent creature would want to bother with us. And they make all these speculations that are satisfying for them as it can be, but none of them are scientifically supported. I mean, the end of the day, the evidence that we have, the scientific evidence, is that there's been no other life anywhere in the universe. And I think this leads them to a certain crisis of thought. The idea that humanity is somehow unique strikes against their fundamental assumptions about the way life works and where life comes from. Ultimately, it comes down to their rejection of God. And when confronted with the scientific evidence that we are alone, we are unique, that leads them to a crisis point where they grasp at the hope for something of more meaning than mere humanity. And so they keep looking, they're just not finding it.
And yet God does make himself very visible to those who want to see him and those who can connect life itself. And like you had mentioned, all the different factors that make up life, from laws to morality, you do see God in that, and mostly in the scriptures, you know, which he starts by talking about creating the heavens and the earth. To me, it brings up a bigger subject that if you open up your mind to it, you can see the beauty of the vastness of the universe along with the relationship that God has with us individually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing that's just amazing there, if we look at the question of what is life, right? The signs of life that scientists are looking for are physical signs of life. But I think there have been many who have speculated about non-physical forms of life. Okay, so in some scientific circles, they talk about, well, what if there's life based on some other medium than chemical existence? Like, what if life can exist in patterns and vibrations of light, for example, or some other such thing? And even in science fiction, you can see some of their visions of what does it look like when a certain civilization advances to a certain point. You know, they stop having physical bodies and they start becoming these floating blobs of consciousness, or like a little cloud that kind of floats around and is conscious, or whatever it is. And that conception of life is maybe closer to the truth than they realize. You know, the fact that the reality of life is not so much our physical existence, but it's the non-physical element that comes from God. Well, we talked about the spirit in man, and we're looking forward to being made spirit beings, that is, beings that aren't relying on a physical existence. And so I think that's just another fascinating piece of irony about scientific thought and even science fiction thought, that life can exist in other forms. And it even goes to show you that that intelligence and intelligent life in particular is something that's not limited to a physical body. And that key realization is something that, you know, we can find from the pages of Scripture, and the fact that God is a non-physical being who has intelligence.
Well, this has been a very wonderful discussion, Steve. I've just thoroughly enjoyed hearing your perspective and this article in the National Geographic, We Are Not Alone, in the current March 2019 issue, has just spurred a lot of thoughts about man, about are we alone, the fact that man is searching and is not able to find, and what will it take, and absolutely how it will turn out. So thank you so much for joining us on Inside United.
Thanks for having me, Vic. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us, Inside United. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.